This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Okay, I'm back. I'm Toni Quest here, TQ here, to welcome you back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. Tonight I have a great guest, someone that's very dear to my heart. I've known him for many years, but we've been in and out of touch with each other because he has a business and businesses as I do. And so I wanted to have him on because he's very astute when it comes to, I'll say, marketing websites, building websites. He's an IT specialist, and I've used him to build websites for me, and he's also built websites for other people that I know. I want to present him to the show because he knows a lot about how to deal with being an entity online as opposed to offline during these coronavirus times when a lot of businesses are moving more to social media and also having their own sites when before they might have just worked in a brick and mortar business. His name is Matthew Dell, and I've known him for many years. His company is called Southeast Tennessee Consultants, and he builds websites, he administers to them, and he's very astute when it comes to marketing and branding. And that's why he's my friend. I don't know if he knows that, but he knows it now. So welcome to the show, Matthew. Thank you so much for coming on. And tell me and tell the audience about what is the best posture to take during these times of coronavirus, the pandemic, when you might have had a brick and mortar business and it's become apparent that it's time to branch out to the internet.
Toni, thank you so much. I mean, you are just way too kind. We've known each other. We've been talking, I guess, for 20 years now, and at least, and you're too kind. I try and get by with what I know and do what I can to make things happen. But
and you do it well.
Thank you. Brick and mortar stores. I've actually worked with many brick and mortar stores, and I have in the natural products industry retailers that sell organic foods or vitamin supplements. So I'm very familiar with that market. And what I tell them is you don't all, and this goes for anybody that's online. Typically, you don't want to sell to your audience. You want to inform your audience. You want to teach them and educate them and share with them what you do and how you do it and why you do it. Then you start building that relationship with your audience, and then they start becoming customers. Well, this person knows a lot about this, this, and this, and this other person over here knows quite a bit about these types of products or this type of industry or this retail type store, but what else are they offering? And so that's building your audience is really, really huge. And that's something that I've been saying for so long, that you don't want to sell to people because people don't want to be sold. It's like going to a car lot, you need to go buy a car. You don't want to be sold. You want to be informed. What does this car do? What's the difference between this vehicle or this product or that product? So you want to be informed and educated. And the person behind the scenes always needs to try to present themselves as the expert in their field. Toni, you are the expert in your field where the screaming woman is concerned, where the energy stoners is concerned, because you have educated yourself to the point where you can put your niche market together. You can put together what this product is about or that product is about. And this is why I painted this product. And now that you're branching out into doing the t-shirts and all the other things, you have the story behind what it is. And so it's not just a piece of art, but there's a story behind it. And that's what's going to draw people to your audience. And that's what's going to put you in the position, posture you is what you say, mm-hmm. put you in that position to be the expert in your field. And I think that's one of the most important things.
It is. I agree with you. And I've learned it the hard way and learned it over and over again. I think that, I don't know if you've found this, but I'll ask you the question. Have you found that your clientele think of themselves as experts all the time?
That's a really good question, because it's all about the person's mentality, the business owner or the artist or the photographer or the store owner. For me personally, I do things the way I do things because I'm really good at it. I don't want to do something that is kind of, you know, half-assed. I want to do something that is going to be right. I want to do it that's going to be good. And I want to do things that are presentable. So if people that I'm working with, if they have that attitude and that mentality, I do want to be the best at this, then it definitely makes it so much easier. My job is to present your ideas, your business as the expert, whether you are or not. But it does help to have that attitude within yourself that I am good at what I do. I should know what I'm doing. You have to have some sort of positive attitude or energy, if you want to say, to do what you do. Because why do people do what they do? You know?
Yeah. There's always a why. And there's also a why not sometimes. There's a term that I hear a lot with regard to websites and internet presence, but with websites, very often people are looking for an interactive kind of website to promote their product. I see some people do it somewhat effectively, but I'm not sure if I'm correct, but I often found the interaction to be better when you use certain social media for the interaction as opposed to a website. Which brings me to my next question. Is a website always necessary?
It really depends on what you're doing. So for instance, like a retail store that does not sell online, a website may not be necessary, but actually, let me rephrase that. A website should be necessary because believe it or not, most searches for a product, a service, a retail store start on mobile phones.
Oh.
I will actually search for something on my phone if I'm traveling, if I'm moving, if I'm away from my desk or something. I'm going to sit on my couch and I'm going to search for something on my phone. And then I'm going to find what I'm looking for, and then I'm going to go to my desktop or my laptop to look at it as a bigger view to say, okay, this is what I want. For instance, if you have a retail store that does not have a web presence and someone's searching for you, then Google Maps and the Google Chrome app will not pick up your address.
Oh.
So it'll be very difficult for someone to find your physical location without a website. So a website is essential and it is necessary, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. Interaction through social media is huge. When you can have some way for people to contact you instantly without picking up the phone, then like an instant messenger, or you have a Facebook business page that has the messenger app included on it, or your website has some sort of chat bot, then it is really, really good to interact with people that way. There's a lot of programs out there that work with Facebook Messenger where you can pre-program them for certain responses, but it is always good to have a human being on the other end to give that personalized interaction.
It sounds like it makes a lot of sense. And the other thing is I find that there are people, I believe there are people that actually do business and they don't necessarily have a website because they're not necessarily selling product, but they're somehow, some way able to brand themselves.
Yeah, like Etsy is really good. You can have a Facebook store to sell product through, you know, Pinterest and Instagram and some sort of communication through that and building up your brand and building up, you know, there's so many Instagram influencers out there that or even YouTube influencers out there that, you know, will do product reviews or talk about a business or there's one company that I know of that they sell through Amazon quite a bit. They actually sell more through Amazon than their own website.
Wow.
They have a very, very good interaction through YouTube and through their Facebook page that drives all their traffic to their Amazon store. which is another option too. You know, when you and I got started, Amazon wasn't even a garage name or anything like that. So
yeah, that's true.
So, but you know, they're a multi-hundred-billion-dollar a year business. So it's good to be on Amazon if you can.
There's a level of savviness that people need in order to make that transition from not having a website presence at all to actually having their regular customers that used to walk into the store be able to find them there. I mean, my understanding for my own personal businesses is that you have to have a website presence just to be found, period. Otherwise, it's like if you didn't have a website at one point early on, it was if you were in a business, you didn't even really exist.
You can also have a really good Facebook page as well, too. Google Plus is no longer in existence, so that doesn't matter. But, you know, having a really good Facebook page and interaction through there could be a way to go for some people. In my view, it really depends on how big you want to be, how personalized you want to be, how you want to grow your business, and where you want to drive traffic. You know, what's your goal? Where do you want to be with your products or your business or your retail store or even your services? So LinkedIn is great for business services.
I love LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn is great. Yeah, I made a ton. I think that's how we've met each other. Was it through LinkedIn?
It might be. It might be through LinkedIn because I found that LinkedIn was the social media platform to this day that you get things, you get leads, you get contacts that are authentic. I'll use that word, authentic.
Yeah, business to business is really good with LinkedIn and building your network and building contacts. And, you know, it's definitely a different platform than Facebook, but it's still a social media type platform, certainly.
So there is something, I guess, once you get that contact, you have to know what to do with it, I would imagine. I think that as people start to find that they're getting traction one way, you know, with their product or their service, you really have to know what to do with it. So you got the lead. Now what? I think a lot of people have problems closing a sale. So often I find for myself and also for, you know, when I'm actually doing my own, you know, searching and shopping and whatever, it's nice to have a landing page. It's okay if I can just find a way to get people to buy it. How do you make that happen? I imagine it depends on the product.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, this is getting back to informing the consumer, informing your customer, educating them. You know, what, for instance, we've talked about t-shirts. And so what type of t-shirt is it? What's the story behind the t-shirt? What's it made out of? What kind of sizes? What kind of styles? And you're really good by putting images up there of different models and different types and body styles. And I think that's really important. And people will buy things off of the story, off of the emotional appeal of what it's about. You know, men want the facts. Women want the emotion.
That's true. We're from Venus. You're from Mars.
I have to comb down my antennas. When you can mesh the two together, the emotional plus the facts to draw people to what you have to offer. And I think that's really important. It really takes a craft to do that. I consider myself really good at putting the mechanics together. I can put a buy now button on almost anything, but what's your story behind it? What are the graphics and the pictures and the images behind it? So, you know, content is king. Google continues to say that having good stories and good content is amazing. The next part is going to be your graphics. So if you have like, you know, pictures with your thumb over your lens camera or out of focus or the lighting is horrible, you know, not to sound crass, but it makes you look like an amateur, and it doesn't present you in the professional light that you should be. So why would somebody buy something that is done out of a picture that is out of focus, or there's misspellings on the page, or anything like that? Amateurish, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's weird when you find you go to a website for a professional website or for a company, and then you find and you read through it and you find things that are misspelled. It doesn't put you in a favorable light. I know that I used to think that was no big deal because it was a typo, and I learned that it is a big deal.
Absolutely, because people may hire somebody from overseas as well to do things, and you know, their language is not our language.
Yeah.
Our primary language here in the States. So there may be some misinterpretation of ingredients of a product or the style of a product, or you know, so you got to be very careful about how that all that works out and how you present yourself. So that's the big thing. Sometimes it's like when you go to a really super fancy restaurant, it's not about necessarily about how it tastes, but it's all about the presentation.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question that a lot of people have asked me. For some reason, people assume I know everything. I don't know everything. But I want to ask you this question. I find, at least for me, you know, even though I live in a locality and my business is in a spot, it's in Peekskill, New York, my inclination is to reach out globally in order to bring attention to where I am and to my product. What do you think about using the internet globally, considering the kind of, sometimes there are viruses and a lot of people don't want to do a website. They won't even buy things online. What can you say to them to make people feel more confident about having a global presence?
A couple things about that. As far as global is concerned, nowadays, believe it or not, if you're living in England, you may not get search results. If you're on Google or another search engine like Bing or something like that, you may not get search results that are outside of your region, believe it or not, unless someone knows of who you are in the States, then reaching out to them will be really difficult, and vice versa. But at the same time, is there a ways to do that and then start advertising? Like Facebook advertising is really, really great. You can actually do ads for targeted countries, which is excellent. So if you are a global company and you want to ship from the United States to Europe or to England or to Russia or wherever, then there's ways to set yourself up to be known and be noticed in those countries. And you also, obviously, you want to be able to have a translator plugin on your website to be able to translate your page to those. Another thing you had asked about security. Security is a huge, huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
We have come a long way in that. And I would say that the majority of people that are online, they will shop online. The sense of security, it has gotten a lot better, I believe, in people's minds of shopping online. When it comes to companies like websites like eBay and Amazon and other big companies out there, I think people's minds are a little more at ease than they used to be. But you always want to protect yourself. So if you're a consumer and you're a shopper, what I would personally suggest is maybe get like a prepaid Visa card that's not tied to your checking account.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So I've seen quite a few people do that. So if you're on, you know, if you shop on Amazon, eBay or whatever, then having a prepaid Visa card and load money into it, you can do that online also. And that way it's not tied to anything else and you can control how much is in that account. And if that account just happens to get hacked, then you're just, you know, it's, you're a little more protected too that way from your personal data.
It's not like they're getting into your bank account and getting all your personal information. What are the steps that one should take to get started? Let's say, you know, you have a shop or you have a store or you're an artist and you really have been doing face-to-face business. And because of what's going on, especially, I mean, my opinion is that you should have been online anyway, but right now it's become almost an imperative.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I would say, you know, like we mentioned LinkedIn, I think that is a really good place to start. If the business wants to branch out and start selling online or, you know, build a new website or revamp their current website or be able to start to get online and they don't want to do it themselves or they want assistance or they want to hire somebody to do it for them, LinkedIn is a really good place to shop because you can find professionals in their field that have a good reputation. You can communicate with them. You can see their contacts and who, you know, any reviews for them. Fiverr is actually really good as well too. But again, you want to be, you know, I personally have had good success with people from overseas, but I've also had bad success with people from overseas. So that's just, you know, neither here nor there, but that's just your own personal preferences. But Fiverr is a good place to shop around for professionals or even just shopping on Google and looking for an agency. But keep in mind is when you get into an agency, then you're going to pay big bucks, especially if you have an agency from that has an address at New York, New York, USA, you're going to pay for it.
I used to work at one of those agencies in New York, New York, and you do pay big time.
Yes, you do. Those buildings don't pay for themselves.
This is true. Do you think that a lot of the services that we're discussing, such as ad agencies, have you found that the fee schedules have changed considering what's going on? Because some things are booming and some things have just like sort of fizzled away.
I would think things are kind of going down because those big ad agencies right now, I would think that hardly anybody is in those offices. And so a lot of people that work for those agencies, I think that they're working from home more now and where their fees are kind of being cut down because they don't have that huge overhead of having to pay for an office and having to pay for all these other things and stuff. So I think that things should be kind of normalizing a little bit. I will say this, that when I lived in Orlando, Florida, and I was doing really well and I knew what my fees were, but when I moved to Tennessee, I could not charge Florida rates in Tennessee because the cost of living is so drastic. The difference is so drastic. So it's definitely less expensive here in Tennessee. So I couldn't charge the same rates. I mean, people laughed at me.
Yeah. Well, imagine if you're from New York and trying to charge New York prices. I've had to give away some, I won't say give away, but sell, you know, original artwork like very, very cheaply because of where I was.
Just a quick story. I have an aunt in Massachusetts and she wanted to buy some of my wife's homemade strawberry jam. And my wife said, yeah, it's just, you know, we sell it for $5 a jar. And she said, you can't sell that for $5 a jar. And I told her, I said, well, if you want us to charge you Massachusetts prices, we'll charge you Massachusetts prices. but if you'd rather pay Tennessee prices, that's fine.
$5.
And this is homemade strawberry jam. Yeah. And we get the strawberries from a mile and a half from our house. So there's a huge strawberry field. Yeah.
So it's that fresh.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, Matt, what's the best way to start? Does someone need to learn WordPress? Would you start with social media and then graduate to a website? Or do you start with a website and evolve from there? How should it work?
We talked a little bit about WordPress, and there's other programs like Wix is really big. GoDaddy has their own editor. So there's a whole variety of programs out there to help you get started on selling products, help you to get started on writing blogs, even just making people aware about your lifestyle, if you're a coach or just different, so many different topics. I think one of the most important things about getting into business or selling product or a service, you have to look at the market as a whole. Like is there somebody doing something that I'm already doing or vice versa. Someone's already doing what I'm trying to do. So looking at your competition and looking at the market as a whole can really get you a wealth of ideas to, well, I can do something different like this, or I can do something different like that. But you, Tony, what's neat about you is you have a unique market yourself in your artwork and the energy stoners. So I guess what I'm trying to say is if you look at building your own niche market, because the marketplace it's crowded out there. You know, building up your own audience and building up your own name it can be kind of difficult, but you can be, if you know what you're doing and you dedicate time and effort into it, then you can really build your audience and build your brand and build your name and sell products. But getting back to your question, mm-hmm. whether using WordPress or social media, I think you have to build a solid foundation. Believe it or not, Facebook may not be here tomorrow or a year or 2 years from now. There may be another competition, like look how TikTok opened up and then whatever's going on with that. But you have to have your own ownership of your own real estate on the internet. That's my personal view. When you start loading information onto other people's websites, then it belongs to them. That's their business and they're going to do what they can do to protect their business or build their business or whatever. But you have to own your own real estate. So having your own website is definitely key to building a solid foundation.
Recently, what I've done is I've purchased domain names on the internet. And when you own a domain name, it's like you just definitely own it. I know I've learned it doesn't mean you own the trademark necessarily, but you own the domain name if it's a .com. And let's say mm-hmm. it's someone said mentioned one to me the other night. I won't say what he said it was, but I'll say, let's say scatterbrain.com. Okay. He bought something like that. But he never really did anything with it, but he owns it. And I'm wondering if you can find something that's catchy enough and pertinent enough for the time and you buy that domain name, is that something you advise in terms of owning real estate on the internet? You might not put, you don't even have to put a website on it, but you own the domain name. If somebody else wants to do it, they have to buy it from you.
There's actually two parts to that question. There's people that actually just buy domain names and resell them for a living, or just on the side, or it kind of just happens. For instance, I don't know if you knew this or not, but when the Washington Redskins changed their name, somebody years and years ago, somebody bought the name WashingtonFootball.com.
Oh.
So the Washington Redskins actually contacted him and said, "We want to buy your domain name, WashingtonFootball.com." So I believe this is, I'll have to, you know, double check all the sources on this, but from my understanding is that the football organization bought the domain name, and then the guy that owned the name, he actually donated the money to Native American Education Fund or something like that, Scholarship Fund or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's nice. That's a real good thing.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty neat. But he bought the domain name like 10 years ago or even 15 years ago and didn't even do anything with it. So he never built a website.
But he was able to work with it. It served him later. It served someone.
Yes. But on the other side of your question is, you know, if you are looking to sell a product, sell a brand, be your own artist, like we know several of those, or you know more than I do, but
don't be fooled, audience. He knows a lot.
Again, that's your real estate. You're putting up your sign that says, "I am screamingwoman.com, and this is what we're talking about." And there's also where domain names concern, if you're purchasing one, it's not as so much anymore as you have to have a .com. You know, there's always .net's very popular, .biz is .us. So there's .art. I mean, there are so many extensions now, and there's literally hundreds of extensions. So www.mynameismatt.name or something or whatever. So there's a lot of varieties out there, but always try go for the .com or .net. Those two have more weight when it comes to search engines and what they're looking for. So like a .biz is not going to get indexed as fast or as thoroughly as a .com or .net.
Because it doesn't really come to mind right away until someone starts to use it successfully. My thinking is kind of like often, you know, you have to advertise off the net in order to get people to your site. I used to do that, you know, to get to someone. I was helping somebody with their marketing. And the advertising I would do would be in print and just buy like a little classified ad even that mentions the website. And then what happens, then you get those people to go to it. I don't know if that still holds as much water as effective now as it was then. I think it was the only thing you could do then. But I'm thinking maybe to revisit that now would be a good thing.
Well, offline is always great. We used to actually do a lot of, a company I work for does a lot of trade shows. So we would go to these trade shows, or we would do these small kind of more intimate settings where we'd have like a round table discussions, things like that. So getting involved with offline is super important. Yeah. If you have a mailing list, or you can get a mailing list, you know, postcards in the mail, or I guess it depends on your area and the publication, but you know, newspaper still works. So people still read the newspapers, believe it or not. So.
Yeah, it's true. There's a market for that, definitely, of people that actually read.
If you're going for that target audience too, you know, that's, you know, just looking at your demographics, and that's, if that's your target audience, then that's where you want to go.
The other thing I'm thinking of, I'm someone that's very fascinated by guerrilla marketing. Very often you might see graffiti anywhere in the world, and someone's writing something in graffiti, and they're sending a message in graffiti, even that's kind of illegal. I don't actually do this, just for, so people know. You can actually put mattdell.com, and then people are seeing it as they're driving by in the car or they're walking by, they see that. And so if you're walking by, you're going to see it. I personally believe that it kind of hits the subconscious subliminally to do those things. But online marketing, I'm thinking about a company called Fiverr. Is let's say you're trying to advertise your website, you could get them to stand on a specific corner in a specific spot somewhere on the planet holding a sign that says, you know, thisisme.com. And they gauge the traffic that goes by that corner, and people do those things. And I just love that stuff. What do you think about that?
Well, there's just my background and the years that I've been in the business. We've done tactics like guerrilla marketing, where you do the offline and billboards and just all kinds of marketing. I mean, everywhere, online, indoor, outdoor, covering everything, depending on what's going on. Well, I mean, look at what's happening in the news cycle right now, all the billboards and the advertisement that's going on for the presidential election. It's everywhere. So you go to YouTube, you go to your Facebook page, you go to Instagram, it's everywhere. And outside, I'm sure where you are, you have the billboards, you have the buses, you have the flyers, the mailers, things like that, talking about elections. So absolutely, that is guerrilla marketing.
But it's a legit form of it. There's another type of guerrilla marketing that was going on, I would say probably around like the year 2011, 12, something like that, maybe a little bit before, where people were actually running scripts. Like for Twitter, there was a tweet adder. And you could just keep sending the same message on the internet over and over again. People were running these scripts and they were getting a lot of traction. And what would happen is you would drive an audience to your site by using these things, which I think at this point have kind of become illegal. You know, you'll get taken off the internet for doing it, where people were doing that, running a program like 24/7 and gathering this audience for themselves that was just enormous. And now they're doing that kind of thing sort of in a sneaky way to sort of promote one candidate over another. I don't want to get into detail about that, but those things are happening, and that's a form of guerrilla marketing.
Right. Yeah. There's stuff that's always going on behind the scenes. I mean, even in the early days, we had issues with some email servers getting blacklisted because they were sending out 80,000 emails every 30 minutes. And people were buying and selling email lists, and the information was just all over the place. And this was back in the early 2000s.
So what's the advantage, let's say, okay, all this is, I understand that, and it fascinates me, the whole idea of it. But at the same time, I kind of wish I didn't know, because people are doing that on the down low, different countries messing with elections and this and that. It sort of concerns me greatly. And they're doing this guerrilla marketing that people don't really notice. It's more, I see it as like a subliminal kind of mind alteration sort of thing. So what kind of advantage would someone have if they hire someone like you that's aware of these things? Like, let's say I have a website and I don't want people like hacking my site. I don't want to get anybody running some kind of thing on the internet to sort of tear me down or make it bad for me for anybody.
That's a good question. Think about this as like an umbrella, and in your umbrella, you have different sections. And so you have your website security, you have your reputation security, you have your passwords and things like that, how they all work, you know, work together to protect you and all of your digital footprint. So that's what you're asking is kind of like a really huge question. But what I can say is I've dealt with companies that do handle reputations. If someone, for instance, had a bad reputation, I'll just give you the scenario. He had someone wrote some negative reviews. We couldn't get them removed. And it was something that was like on LinkedIn or some other Manta.com, which is a business listing website, and some other websites that handle reputations. So we dealt with that. And then what I work on mostly is server side. So like you buy the domain name and then you have to put it somewhere. You want to build a website and put pictures on there and stuff. You have to put that data, that information, your text, your content, your images, your videos, your music, whatever. You need a place to put that. So I handle web servers that hold and store data for websites. So when you have your domain names like screamingwoman.com, that actually goes to my server. You rent space for me to hold your, or lease space for me to hold your data for that website. So in short, I definitely recommend, you know, long string passwords. 12 characters is always a big deal when you're logging into your website, when you're logging into anything like that, making sure your website is up to date, like using WordPress, for instance. That is probably the number one content management system platform, or CMS. And so if that's not updated, it could cause security issues. So you need someone that can handle that, handle your website and security on your website and making sure everything is updated and running correctly for you.
And I imagine there are all kinds of protections that are, I guess, installed, I don't know what word to use, on the website to protect you from hacking, because someone can take your whole website down and all of a sudden it just doesn't exist. And you're like, but where did it go? You know, so someone like you knows enough to create some redundancy.
So that starts with somebody that knows what they're doing and someone that you can trust. Mm-hmm. You and I have a relationship for, you know, I think we guesstimated 15 years or more. So with that, we've built trust and relationship, and you know me to be a person of integrity and upfront with you. So that definitely helps out to make sure that your business is protected. I would definitely make sure you have a US-based host. You know, if you're in Europe, have a European-based hosting company, and making sure that they're reputable and they have a good following and good, you know, especially reviews. So it really starts with who you're trusting with your data, your website. We do backups all the time now. We actually use Amazon Web Services to do backups and make sure what's called the SSL, that gives you the little padlock at the top of your screen or your browser screen, saying that website's secure. So we want to make sure that's always updated, because what that does, it actually helps encrypt and encode data that's being passed from the customer to the web server, to your website, especially when you're dealing with credit cards online. So security has definitely come a long way, and it's good. And yes, there's always room for improvement, but that's why you need somebody that can handle the updates and notices. Well, I got a notice the other day from one of the authors of a plugin that we use to process credit cards. So we actually have to find a new one because that one's coming out of date and out of compliance.
So you need someone that actually understands these things, because I know a lot of people feel that these, like, websites, having a website and doing social media, they can do it all themselves. But someone's got to have the wherewithal to be able to do that. And you've had so much experience with this, you might have seen every scenario. You know, you've seen some things that I've gone through with websites. I know some other people that are actually local here, even though you're in another state. It's amazing to me. What did we meet one time in Atlanta?
Atlanta, yes.
It was just the only time, but it was kind of interesting to me that knowing technology just a little bit and understanding it, I don't feel that I understand everything about it, but I'll say that if you know enough about it, you'd understand how technology really kind of brings us all together. And in terms of websites, I try to have that so that particular characteristic be an element, be as a part of whatever website I'm doing, where I'm trying to think about the people who are watching. Now, I just want to ask a question. What's the best way to get someone to go on to your website or into your social media and then just make it so you can turn money on the internet, since we can't do as much in person anymore?
Facebook and Instagram are awesome for posting products. And there's a lot of ways you can actually connect your website to your social media. So you can automatically post product updates through social media. So you can post, I have a new product, or I have a price change, or I have something else going on. So you can synchronize your products to your Facebook page and your Instagram store, which is really cool. So you don't have to edit. If you edit one thing, then it's automatically edited to your Facebook and your Instagram page as well, too. that's a really good way to connect to customers. It's a really good way to get the ball rolling with that, doing paid ads. I don't even know how many Facebook ads I manage, but it's quite a bit. We have a pretty big budget for a couple projects. So we manage a lot of Facebook ads and Instagram stores. And then Google alone, just making sure that your website is connected on your products are connected to Google Merchant and running paid ads through there. So those are other ways. SEO and organic is always, always, always going to be the best and your most cost effective.
Tell people what SEO is, because I imagine there's a segment that doesn't really know.
SEO is search engine optimization. And what that means is that you want your website to appear nice and neatly and in an orderly fashion. All of your data that you need to get your website indexed like a big giant card catalog. If you remember the Dewey Decimal System and the card catalog from the school days, you know, it's exactly what that is. It's a card catalog of your website and what it is. And so, for instance, artists and painters. So then you want to optimize for your audience. You want to optimize for the search engines also. So it does get a little tricky, but there's some great tools out there for WordPress and even Wix to help you do that, or even pay somebody to do it for you.
Wow, the possibilities are endless. But the show is not endless. I really thank you for this.
Absolutely.
Tell the audience how people can get a hold of you.
Best way is email, which is Matthew, M-A-T-T-H-E-W, at setnconsultants.com. That is for Southeast Tennessee Consultants. So it's setnconsultants.com. Or just go to my website, setnconsultants.com, and you can fill out the information there, and it'll send me an email with your contact, and we'll get the ball rolling on whatever we can do to help you out. Claim your piece of the internet.
Yes, claim your piece of the internet, people. It's there for all of us. You got to have a little piece of the world, right? What the heck? You deserve it. We all deserve some of the world. So I want to thank you so much, Matthew, because you know, you just have a ton of information, and you know I'm going to want to have you on again because you have another business, and I'll do another show with you about that.
All right.
I'm going to tell the audience that please contact Matthew Dell. He really knows his stuff. I'm going to thank you for coming to the show, and I'll see you next time. I always find something really interesting to talk about and an extremely interesting guest, someone that's really worthy of your ears. And I'm saying goodnight and goodbye. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.